Thank you for joining us today for Volume 2 of our artist interview series, Articulations. This program is a collaboration between the Margaret Sloss Center for Women and Gender Equity and KHOI-FM. My name is Nancy Gebhardt, and we are thrilled to introduce you to five amazing artists in our community, from whom you'll hear every Monday at 4 p.m. during the month of October. This is the first interview in this volume of the series, and I'm excited to be speaking with Charlie Esker. Charlie is a local non-binary artist born and raised in Iowa. They studied integrated studio arts and psychology at Iowa State and now work as a full-time artist. As she describes, "In essence, my work has become a celebration of queerness and the queer experience, both my own and that of the larger queer community, which inspires me every day. My art has grown and changed so much through my own transition, and I will continue to explore and evolve along with it." Thank you so much for being here, Charlie.
Yeah, happy to be here.
It's like the perfect way to end the week. Or
exactly.
I guess we're starting the week on the radio. But I want to go back to the words that you had in the introduction, you kind of use as part of your bio, because you describe your art as a celebration of queerness and queer experience. In what ways does that show up in the art that you make?
Yeah, I definitely think my queerness and my own queer experience has been the largest influence on my art overall. I mean, it's a very large part of my life outside of art, but those two things seem to be the same thing. So my queer family and friends that I have made over the years, my own experience as a trans person, all of these things kind of inform my art and guide it. And I want to use my art to kind of change that narrative that has been told about queer people and show us in a light that is, as we are, like, divine and holy and amazing.
I'm filled with joy. That's what I always think of when I look at anything that you've made. It's so joyful and celebratory.
Exactly.
Right? Could you, for anyone listening who hasn't seen your work, could you describe visually what it would look like or what it looks like?
Yeah. A lot of my work center a singular figure or a couple figures in a slightly abstracted form. I use a lot of color and texture with the pastels that I use. So if you're looking at my work, you're going to see queer bodies on backdrops of vibrant colors. I like a lot of imagery that evokes like religious imagery and things, spirituality, like the sun and the moon. I use that a lot in my work too.
Cool. What is it about a slight abstraction of the form that you're drawn to?
I don't know. I think that the way I do bodies now is essentially a querying of all of the studies I've done of life drawing, because I can push myself to do a more formal life drawing, really focus on the anatomy and get it accurate. But this feels more like, I don't know, more like a self-expression through these bodies, and like the way that the parts of the body that I tend to focus on and the parts of the body that are, you know, maybe a little bit more loose for me in my own mental conception of things. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I go about making the bodies.
Yeah. Well, I love that too, because you are formally trained in figure studies, right?
Right?
In figure drawing and figure painting. And so you've learned all of those technical skills, and now you use that knowledge to like bend it and break it.
Exactly.
Right? And then create challenges around this tradition of figure drawing or figure painting, which
absolutely
is cool. So another thing that definitely plays into your work is the scale, right? If anyone's had the opportunity to see something of yours in person or even read about it, right, it's like you love to work at a very large scale.
Absolutely.
How does that connect to this idea of queerness or queer expression, and or just why work so big?
Yeah, I've always been drawn to scale. I think large art just has a way of evoking so much emotion and experience when you're viewing something so grand, like Mark Rothko's huge paintings.
Oh, I love Mark Rothko. I just was actually at the St. Louis Art Museum a week ago, and I just stood in front of a giant Mark Rothko and like just let it envelop me, and it was
absolutely
amazing.
The one in the Des Moines Art Center, I go sit in front of that one. But so I think scale has always definitely been on my mind in terms of art, but I haven't had the ability to do that until I started working with this material and this medium. I don't know, bigger is always better. If I'm going to be celebrating and showing queer people in this light, I want to do it in a grand way, in a huge way, and show them off.
Absolutely. Show them off and then like physically take up space, right?
Exactly.
Like command space and demand the attention that these beautiful bodies deserve. Right?
Absolutely.
I love it. So also you mentioned it a little bit, but your primary medium, the drawing medium anyway, is chalk pastel,
mm-hmm.
right? What is it about chalk pastel that you're drawn to?
I've kind of always been drawn to drawing and painting, maybe a little bit more drawing. So like I did a lot of charcoal work, when I studied in college. But I've definitely drawn to the color and the texture I'm able to achieve with the chalk pastels, and how I can get that contrast between the blended smooth bodies with the rough, bright colors of the backgrounds. And I feel like working on my hands and knees, moving chalk is very, it feels like a very immersive experience for myself when I create my own art in my studio, because I'm like in it and I have pastels all over me constantly. Yeah. It's just become, the medium has become like a part of that work.
Sure, because it's a very physical, especially working at the scale that you
exactly.
do, right? It's a very physical process.
Right, even yeah. the people putting it up are going to get some pastel on them.
Yeah, spoken, you know, with experience. I've been one that
right.
got to help with an installation of yours, which I'm incredibly grateful for, and ended up head to toe covered in chalk pastel, and it felt amazing.
Part of the art.
It felt amazing. I felt like, you know, I was lucky to have that pastel on me, so... But I love that. I love the just the idea of the physicality of it, right?
Right.
And I also love the image of you covered in pastel by the time you've
always.
You know, finished.
Most of my clothes are ruined by now.
So as you're talking about queer experience and queer identity, and again, even just the concept and ideas of taking up space as a queer artist and for your queer family, as you mentioned, I'm just curious, do you consider yourself an activist in doing that, or that your art is activist art?
Yeah, I guess the way I would describe my art would be more like visibility activism. I am definitely passionate about a lot of social issues and care very deeply about that. But it seems like with my art, the best thing that I can do is to display these trans bodies and queer people. And, you know, like I said earlier, reclaiming that narrative and showing us in a positive light. In somewhere maybe where we're not always seen. And I think that that is really important. I think a lot of times my art is almost braver than I am in terms of queer expression. It's still difficult to like go out into the world and be a visibly trans person. And so being able to, you know, draw multiple trans bodies and have it hanging in a huge space where so many people see it is like, that is what I want with my art.
Yeah, I love that, right? Yeah. I just love what you said about how your art is braver than you are, right? But then you've had this incredible vulnerability in putting all of yourself into that art at the same time.
Absolutely.
And then putting it out to the public. But there's also, maybe what I'm hearing is a little bit of safety in presenting it that way, right? Through the artwork.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm curious too, like, so you mentioned visibility activism. Could you give us a little bit more of like, what does that term mean? Or how would you define that?
Yeah, I guess to me, visibility activism is essentially making ourselves known, because a lot of people maybe don't even know a trans or queer person in their own life. And so all of the things that they've been told about us and the queer community, they've heard from outside sources and people who are homophobic, transphobic. So in a lot of ways, then maybe if they see queer bodies and queer people and then see a queer artist, you know, that can help to change those narratives that they have in their head. And I think another thing that I really like with my art is that that visibility can help, you know, maybe some queer children who are mm-hmm. not used to seeing queer expression in that way, and that it can be very comforting to know and see that there are other people like me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like providing those children and youth a mirror, right? Something, some way to see themselves represented in the
Absolutely.
World, especially when so often they're refused that opportunity. So that's really beautiful. And I think that's something, to me, that's something that is incredibly important about the role of an artist in any kind of social justice work, is that they create those mirrors and those opportunities
Absolutely.
For people to see into other identities and see into other experiences and other worlds and learn from them and celebrate them. And so I so
Exactly.
appreciate you doing all of that through your artwork. So one thing you did mention earlier too is that spirituality was a big inspiration and kind of becomes part of your iconography that you use
Right.
in your work. Can you talk a little bit about where that comes from?
Yeah, definitely. So along with my own queerness being a large influence in my art, I think the second largest influence, maybe I would say, would be my religious past. So I grew up in a very religious family that left me with a lot of scars, mm-hmm. especially in terms of my queer identity. And I think that a lot of those images of holy figures with halos and things are things that I grew up seeing in church and in places that harmed me so deeply and I'm still healing from today. And so using those images and that iconography as a way to heal through my art, it kind of feels like reclaiming those ideas of like what is holy, what is unholy, those type of things. So.
Right. That makes so much sense that your childhood experiences are tied to the visuals, right, in those spaces, especially as an artist, as a visual thinker,
right,
that your memories and your experiences are so deeply attached to that visual representation that you saw. And I love the idea of this like subversion, right, that you're doing, the reclaiming that's happening with it. What are some other things that influence or inspire your art?
I definitely am inspired by Art Brut, and like children's art in general. So I studied psychology or minored in psychology at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. And I was really interested in going into art therapy. And I really enjoy working with children. And I think that that is such a important part of a lot of this stuff that I'm talking about with art and activism too. I think a lot of that Art Brut inspiration comes in with the colors and also maybe even the medium, because chalk is so familiar to a lot of kids. Mm-hmm. I remember chalk in the neighborhood up and down.
Absolutely.
Hopscotch all the way.
Yeah.
And so that kind of feels like a little bit of a full circle moment almost too.
Yeah. For people who don't know, could you explain a little bit of what Art Brut is?
Yeah. Art Brut is a movement that happened sometime in the past, learned it in school, forgot it now.
Yeah.
And it was inspired by children's art. So essentially this effort to emulate that, what a lot of children's art looks like with, you know, really abstract figures, these, I guess, I don't know what I'd call it, icons of like a house or, you know, a mom and dad, dogs,
yeah.
things like that, bright colors, scratchy lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love, you had also said that just being inspired by children themselves, right? Not
Absolutely.
Necessarily the art movement inspired by children, but like the act of children as artists.
Right.
Right. Because what is it about a child with a piece of chalk on the sidewalk, right? There's so much about it that's uninhibited and
Exactly.
free, right? That there's a lot to be inspired by there.
Most definitely.
You mentioned the hopscotch. I still, because you know, I live in the downtown neighborhood and lots of children here, and I still can't like pass a hopscotch, you know,
without doing it.
I do it
of
every
course.
Time. Like I'm just walking downtown, and I just, you know, have to hop when I see one. So, so I want to talk a little bit about a project that you were involved with in September. So that one that recently ended, but you were part of a juried exhibition in downtown Ames called Out. And you were selected as one of the artists, and you included a mural titled Queer Family, which was displayed in the entryway of the Ames Public Library, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that mural?
Yeah, absolutely. That mural, when I saw the, you know, call for proposals, I immediately wanted to do it. And I had this idea, because a lot of my previous work has been more vertical, and so I wanted to work horizontal to allow myself more space to add figures, and so that was the initial idea that I had. And then I wanted to relate it to Ames Pride, that it was for and all that stuff, so I obviously was going to do something queer.
Yeah.
And so I thought about, you know, what are those queer things that really make my queer experience and my queer family is exactly that. You mm-hmm. know, my friends who I found along the way who have shaped me so much and inspire me every single day with their resilience and, like, yeah, their, I don't know, their unafraidness to be queer and, like, how we support and bolster each other. I just wanted to evoke that through this piece. And I think that's where a lot of the scale comes into. The grandeur and, like, immensity of this queer family that I've found and how much love I have for them is yeah. what I wanted to transmit into this piece. And I wanted to share that with whoever walks through the library, I guess.
Yeah, I love it. And I love that it's in such a public space, such an occupied space, right? Like, the library is such a hub of activity for our community. And I think that's such an important placement for it. But I also just was going to connect it back to, like, the very beginning, right at the beginning of our interview, you talked about how important your queer family is for you.
Right.
And so then you had this opportunity to create this mural where you could really publicly express that love and that gratitude, which I think is really wonderful.
Absolutely.
So I did have the opportunity to be involved in that exhibition, and I remember reading your proposal that said that it would be, because you said you were interested in working horizontally, and you said that it would be, you know, about 10 feet wide, right. 10 feet, yeah, was the approximate dimensions. So how big did it end up?
Just a couple feet over, yeah, like, that's 23 feet long, 6 feet high, but yeah.
Just 23 feet long.
Right.
But I had to laugh when the day we were installing, I saw you pull up, and you don't have a large car.
No.
Your car is fairly small. And I was like, how is there a 23-foot mural in this car? And
it's rolled up.
And then we unrolled it in the library on the floor, and it was just magical. Yeah. So in that mural, there are, again, your kind of signature bright colors, multiple figures. Is it maybe 5 or 6 figures in there?
Yeah, I think there were 6 in there.
Yeah. And then what I also loved is you added the kind of gold leafing mm-hmm. on the end. What was that decision?
Yeah, that comes right back to that religious okay. iconography of the gold halos. I think that, and royalty, you know, these things that we associate with gold, the capital in Des Moines,
yeah, sure.
wealth, things that are not typically associated with queerness, maybe. Mm. And so I just like using gold leaf a lot. And I used it in previous works in the pieces, actually. But this felt like a beautiful way to frame it and, kind of like put all these figures in this home with gold on the ends.
That's amazing. Did you have a chance to hear how people responded to the mural?
I've had a couple people give me compliments, obviously, yeah. About it. The art walk that happened went super well. I think that, yeah, all good things about it. It's just super exciting to have so many people, like, seeing something that big that I made and it being there for a whole month.
Yeah, it's just so great. So one thing we haven't talked about with regard to your materials is the drawing mediums to mm-hmm. the chalk pastel, but what's the surface that you're using, especially when you're working that large?
Right. So I actually use roofing paper, tar, whatever it is, something from Home Depot, whatever the cheapest one
paper.
Is. Right. and the way I got into using that was an old professor of mine had off the cuff just suggested it because I wanted to work large mm-hmm. and it comes in this huge roll, that I don't know how many pieces I can get out of it, but I literally just put it on the floor and roll it out, which is maybe why it ended up 23 feet and not 10.
Because it just kept
it's
rolling.
A little bit more,
it's
right.
Like, well, it's already
it was
rolled
downhill,
out. I might
so.
As well. It was downhill.
But honestly, the material that I use comes into play so much because I really, that texture that I have in the background a lot is like one of my favorite parts of the piece. Mm-hmm. That tactile nature almost of it. And the roofing paper has so many good ridges, but I am still able to smooth where I want to smooth if I really want to.
Yeah.
Like the figures. But it allows for me to have that variability and to work at this scale. And it's relatively affordable. So, like, it's a win-win-win.
Yeah, all across the board, right? I would imagine, too, even the surface having, like, that tarry, you know, almost like tackiness,
right,
would help with the chalk pastels, because it would kind of hold the medium to the paper.
It does smell a little bad though in my studio since I have so much of it. So my studio definitely needs a good cleaning.
I can imagine. So that's another thing, right? Of potentially a limitation of the material, right, and the scale, is that you have to have the space to work. Like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I have a studio space in Ames that I currently use that I just had through some mutual connections, and it has been the biggest blessing, I think, in my entire life. It's a huge studio space. I'm able to make 23-foot long murals in there, and I can store all my art there, and it really has been a lifesaver to have that space given to me. Right now I live in Des Moines, so I don't have a studio space that is like that. So if anybody has one and they want to...
Des Moines is listening. Right.
I'm kind of on the hunt for a studio in Des Moines, but still using the one in Ames and kind of working wherever, right?
Yeah. Are there other limitations to the materials that you choose that you've found?
Honestly, the pastels are a little, especially at this scale, are so hard to secure onto the piece. Mm-hmm. Like, even that mural, I had sprayed multiple times, and I even vacuumed it with this little handheld vacuum to get, like, all the thing off, and still we got pastel all over us.
It's
so
true.
It seems like that might be a limitation in terms of the, like, formal quality of my work, I guess, and, you know, how can I improve those things? But I think I like how human it is.
Absolutely.
We're going to get messy when we're putting it up.
I love that, right? Because it actually, like, brings you into the work even more.
Right.
So long as it doesn't harm the work. And I don't think it does, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah, like, it's durable. So durable.
Roofing paper.
Right? It's so durable. One thing you did mention during the out exhibition about your mural there was the roofing paper only comes in a certain width. Or height.
Right.
The opposite dimension.
Right? So, one of them.
And that, and because of the scale you were wanting to do, and, you know, when it's 23 feet one direction, you know, it to have a compatible, you know, dimension the other. And so it kind of created a line across the mural, right?
Right.
And so do you see that as a limitation too? Or is that just, I don't know, an artistic problem that's something you have to deal with?
Yeah. I don't know, because my original idea was to just do it really long, but have it be one width, you know, or one height long.
Yeah.
But then I just didn't think it was big enough, and so I did the double, and I did plan it out and sketch it out with the line, with the split in mind.
Yeah.
So it wasn't unintentional, but I definitely think that in the future, if I can find a way to make this material larger, somehow securing them together, I think, like I was just talking about, that would help with the formal aspect of getting the work all ready, and just maybe not distract as much, because I think the line in the middle, while it was, and there's nothing I can do about it now, it maybe takes away a little bit from the piece. Overall, still happy with it, but
I don't think it took away at all. I think what potentially happens is that audiences might add an interpretation that's not intended, right? Like, I still don't think it would be a negative one, but I just think it's interesting thinking about the way, because it's almost like, you know, we could connect it back to your spirituality references and religion references too. Like, it's almost like a diptych, but horizontal as opposed to vertical. But
that is true.
So you're currently practicing as a full-time artist, post-graduation, post all of those types of things.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're currently working on?
Yeah. That mural was definitely the largest thing I've done, and it was kind of like a peak a little bit, I would say. You know, it was the end of my roll of roofing paper, so it felt like an end to that, so I got to get a new one. But I'm working on a tarot deck that is also in this pastel medium, and I have all of them are in about 3 feet by 2 feet pieces, and so I need to finish the suits for that, so that is definitely the next thing I want to finish. I don't know, I feel like I'm in a time in my life now that I finished this mural that I can think about how can I make it even bigger. how big can I go? I have some ideas sketched out and things that I'm thinking about in general, but definitely more in the in the thought part of the process than the doing.
Awesome. Well, can you tell us a little bit about the transition from student to full-time artist, and what was it that, you know, because that's not an easy necessarily choice to make. And so what is it that, I think it's wonderful, right? And to find ways to do that. But what is it that drove that decision, and that, like, kind of what is it that keeps you on that path?
Yeah. The SparkNotes version. I graduated and then ended up going back home to take care of my grandma, who has Alzheimer's, which ended up being a very difficult experience, but also very amazing. I got to spend so much time with her, and they had a big basement that I was able to work in. I did a lot of painting there and a little pastel work, but it just, like, reinforced after I graduated that, like, I don't see my life in any other way except with art. Like, it's not the only thing I'm passionate about, but it is my main passion in life. It's, like, what wakes me up in the morning, I guess. That's so cliche to say, but, like, art is so powerful to me, and, like I said before, like, it's my way of healing, and it's my way of, like, sharing my own story and all of those things. And so it's just this constant thing that has been in my life, but I haven't made that decision to, like, fully pursue it. And mm-hmm. so after taking care of my grandma, when I moved back to Ames, I was working at Fairway. I don't know if I can say that. It was just soul-sucking, like, manual labor job. And I was like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this job when I was, like, because then that would leave no time for me to actually pursue my art. I could maybe do a couple things outside that time, but I just made the decision one day that I was like, if this is what I want to do with my life, I have to actually do it.
Yeah.
So I just made the switch, and I don't know. And here we are. The rest is history.
Oh, that's exciting. So, Charlie, thank you so much for being here and for being a part of this series. Thank you especially for sharing your story and inviting all of us into just your celebration, right, of you and your queer family and all of that through your artwork. It's wonderful for you to share that with us, and I feel very grateful. For people listening, where can they find you and keep up with the things you're doing?
Yeah, I post a lot on my Instagram, which is just my name, Charlie Esker, and that's where you can find, like, links to my website, which I'm still updating, and other things. But yeah, I mean, come to Des Moines if you really want to find me. Come knock on my door.
Maybe not that. Maybe let's not do that. But start with Instagram.
If you want to buy the piece,
then knock on the door. Yes, if you're gonna buy it. Well, that's great. So Charlie Esker on Instagram.
Yeah, and I believe if you search that on Facebook and all the other things, like my Behance portfolio will come up too. Yeah. So you might find me on LinkedIn too. I don't know if I still have that up.
Cool. Well, thank you again so much, Charlie.
Yeah, thank you.
So thank you for listening to Articulations, brought to you by the Margaret Sloss Center for Women and Gender Equity and KHOI Community Radio 89.1 FM. Our interview is edited by Rosie Rowe. Join us next week, Monday at 4 p.m., for a conversation with Vivian Cook. To round out the hour, we invite you to sit back and enjoy a selection of songs picked by Charlie. You can find the full Articulations playlist on Spotify or on the Sloss Center website.